Talking today, we're going to talk about mercy or sacrifice. Mercy or sacrifice. Hallelujah. Talking about the grace of God, the magnificent grace of God, big, deep grace of God. Do you guys ever watch that movie named The Abyss? The Abyss? I'm talking about maybe 1980s, right? I think so. What? You're saying like, I'm not from the 1980s? You're right. The Abyss. That movie, I really like it. I really enjoy that movie. And then the principle over there that really impressed me, it is the pressure that is under or inside of the ocean, right? Inside there. As far as you continue going, the pressure it can increase and then it can destroy you. So they use kind of a system that he have to like inhale some liquids with oxygen, I believe so, so that way he can breathe with that in that type of pressure. Really smart. But correlating that with the spiritual life and based on the abyss of grace topic that we're talking, it's really interesting because the pressure is being created because you have more water on top of that and also in the side. That's what is creating pressure. If you are in the middle of that and you're going down deep to the ocean, you have pressure because you are receiving a lot of more water from the top and from the bottom. That's why if you keep going deep, the pressure is higher. So the same thing about spiritual life. If you are full of the grace of God, when you go deep, deep, deep in revelation with God, you're not going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. But sometimes when we are going deep in revelation with God and you don't get the grace of God in your life, then you can be destroyed. Because you're going by the old covenant, which is based on sacrifices, not in mercy. And that's what we like to present to you guys today. And we like to open it with the 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Praise God for the word. The blessing of understanding this scripture that we're going to share now, it is based on what Jesus Christ spoke to the disciples and also to the Pharisees in that time. And in order to do that, we have to go to Matthew 12 first, and then we're going to Matthew 9. Matthew 12, verse 1, it says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they say to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that the priest on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. Wow. I wish I can be there. Yeah, you know, listen to that and say, like, man, what? Are you the temple? Wow, what, you're saying that? I guess it was really difficult for the legalistic people over there or the Pharisees because, yes. But anyway, I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You will not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of man is Lord of the Sabbath. Again, man, you're saying that you are the Sabbath, you are the temple? That's a strong words for the Pharisees that time. Matthew 9:9 says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Praise God for the word. Hallelujah. So in order to understand this more and go a little bit in definitions and learning more, sacrifice, what does that mean in the Greek? Because we are reading this based on the New Testament, which is Greek. In the Greek, it means impetus, which is breathing strongly, blow or smoke. Like, by extension, it is immolate, like kill for any purpose, which it means impulse, accelerated or violent movement. In other hand, the opposite of that, it will be calm. When you are calm, that means there's no sacrifices over there. But then when you are like in that impetus, you know, you're doing something to reach something else in your life or something else that you want to reach, then it might be causing a sacrifice in your life because you are getting out of that zone that you are normally living your life. And you say, you know what, I never did this I guess I have to do it, so this is a sacrifice for me because I never had to do this to go to this or to reach this or any other things in my life. So that's a sacrifice. That's something that is getting you out of that comfort zone and then is creating a sacrificial in your life. Now, the teaching that we know about this sacrificial or sacrifice definition, it is that we present something to God so that way we honor him through that sacrificial thing that you're doing in order to receive something from him. That's what he stipulated from the Old Testament. That's what he put in place so that way you can get salvation or maybe healing or maybe restoration or maybe removing all the sin out of your life. So you're doing something, you receive something. And right now we have to be careful because we as a church, then if we are doing that, if we have that mentality, remember the grace of God is different of sacrificial. It's a different thing. And sometimes we as a church, if we're living as a sacrificial person, like doing something to God so that way we can receive something, then, like I keep saying, because this is the main topic of the grace, and I will keep repeating the same thing, then we are removing Jesus Christ out of the cross. Because I'm taking care of the sacrificial state or thing that I'm doing. Now, Jesus Christ is not sufficient. Now, whatever I'm doing is sufficient, so I don't need Jesus Christ. Then to reach God, I just need to do this sacrificial so that way I can reach God. And then when I'm doing this sacrificial stuff, I'm receiving something from God. So you have to be careful with that mindset because then you are removing Jesus Christ out of the picture and you don't want to do that. Jesus Christ is sufficient. What he did for you is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. So that's the grace of God. And that's why it's so difficult to understand sometimes because the way that we learn and the way that God stipulated that sacrificial thing in the past, in the Old Testament, it was to present the animal, presenting or maybe a human being. Some religions, they sacrifice kids. You know that. They sacrifice animals. They sacrifice anything that is a living being. And they just do it because they want to present themselves in that living creature so that way they can receive something from God. And right now, the point of this sacrificial thing that we need to learn and we need to get inside of us is that we as a church, we're still thinking that whatever I'm going to do physically is because I'm expecting something from God. And that's the part that we need to learn. That you cannot get whatever you do physically, like any works, according to Scripture, you're not saved by the works. It's by faith. Faith by the sacrificial Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. That's faith. That's grace of God. And we have in that mindset. I'm guilty of that sometimes also. Like, what is the condition of our hearts? With what reason are you coming to church? With what reason are you helping your brother and your sister? With what intention in your heart are you helping your neighbors? Are you really doing it because you're expecting something from God, or are you just doing it because it's flowing out of your grace, the grace of God in your life? Because if you're doing it just because of your flesh, say, well, let me help my neighbor. I really don't feel it, but let me help him because I want to receive healing from God. I don't know. You have to be careful with that. Because God already provided to you what you need. So you cannot do any work to receive what he already provided to you. Otherwise, it's like being unrespectful, I can say, to God, because you're telling God why you already give it to me in faith. I don't trust in that. I don't have faith in that. Let me just do my work, because I think if I do this work, then you can give me what I deserve or what I need. Did that make sense? That's sacrificial. That's the sacrifice. We are only administrators. Administrators of what he, in his grace and love, entrusts to us. That is why our sacrifice will always be incomplete. Always. What is the intention of your heart? What is the condition of your heart right now? With what intention are you serving God? To receive something? You already have it. He already provided. You cannot do anything to gain that. That's the grace of God. We did not give ourselves the breath of life. Or you did it. We didn't. Right? We didn't. Sometimes we act like that way. Like we are own of our own life because we provide the breath of life of ourselves. No, it was God. He's the creator. He's the one that provides that to you and to me. What we can offer is the result of what he first granted to you and to me. That's what we can offer. He already gave you that. You have it. So now we have to just pass it along to the other ones, to our neighbors. Many times we have the mentality that sacrifices pay for blessing. As I do, God will answer. If I go to church, God will answer. And I have to be careful, because then I'm not saying don't come to church. Again, it's the heart. It's the heart. That's what he's looking. When God established that in the Old Testament, he was looking the hearts of the Israelites. He was not just establishing a formula and say, okay, if you do this, you will receive this, and then this one equals this one is going to be that. It's by faith. He wants the heart. He wants you to change the heart. Because externally, according to the Bible, the Pharisee will all dress nice, white, clean. But inside of them, what was happening? Jesus Christ says, hypocrites. Because inside of them, they were not right with God. Externally, it was nice and beautiful. The same concept with you and me. When you and I come to church and maybe help others, or maybe offering, with which heart are you doing that? To expect something from God? Or because it's really flowing out of you because of grace? Luke 6:35. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Don't expect anything. That's supposed to flow. He already provided. We are in that gray line that we have to be careful. What is your heart? He already provided. He already granted to you. have the trust of Him. Serve Him with love, with passion. Help the other ones because you are grateful of His grace that is sufficient with you. Psalm 37, 26 says, they are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. You can see the benefits over here, the scripture. Not me. The scripture. His word. His mouth talking to you right now and saying, when you're going to give something, just give it freely. Don't expect it back. With a heart that is not expecting anything. That's the heart that He's looking. A heart that is giving because you are in grace right now. You are grateful of His grace, which is Jesus Christ in your life. There's a great preacher in Great Britain, sorry, named Roy Hazen says, most of the message are good warnings, but not good news. And we, I'm including myself here, the church, and also you and me, that we have some people in charge, people that God is putting in your hands so that way you can preach them and evangelize them, so you have a responsibility. Sometimes we preach them warnings. Like I was talking last Sunday, no, the commandments, you should not. But we don't have anything that say what I need to do to serve God, to love God, to have a relationship with Him. It just says you should not all the time because the law was not sufficient in our life. But then we are forgetting the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when He came and He was over here in the body of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He was not full. When I mean full, I mean like full inside of Him. He was not full of bitterness, hatredness, jealousy, fear, envy, anxiety. He don't have nothing like that. Right? He don't have anything of that. He did not manipulate or repress anyone to obtain something. Those who walk with Him simply follow Him. Matthew, follow me. Boom. The scripture doesn't say anything else, right? We don't know what happened over there at that time. But according to the scripture, it says that Jesus Christ was walking. So Matthew, stand up. Walk with me. And Matthew just woke up and started walking with Him. What Matthew saw in Jesus Christ that he didn't see in other ones, in other teachers, in other Pharisees, in other masters over there in that time. I bet he didn't see anxiety, trouble, all those bitterness, envy, fear. And what we have inside is what we're going to express to others. What we have inside is what we're going to reflect. I bet Jesus Christ in that time it was amazing. He was saying, man, this guy's different. I don't listen anything wrong, anything bad. It was just good news, salvation. Your faith has saved you. You're healed. Removing demons out of the people. Good news. He was a friend of sinners because in His presence, criminals and prostitutes were not condemned or rejected. They were loved. According to the scripture, He was sitting with them. And the Pharisee says, why are your teacher sitting with them? That's unlawful. That's not supposed to happen. Because He's not condemning them. He was not putting them in that. Because Jesus Christ was not having that inside of Him. He was giving love because He had love. What are you giving to the others? What are you and me are giving to the other ones? To our neighbors? To our family members? They might be not followers. They might be not believers right now. But what we are giving to them? Are we giving hate? Bitterness? Anxiety? What we are passing to the other ones. Because what God entrusts that you have inside of you is what you're supposed to give to the other ones. This is going to be the last one, but I want to share now. God want me to share right now. I listened this week from a Jew teacher. And he says, identity is destiny. And if we don't know who we are in Christ, the world certainly will do. So the identity that you have in Christ, the identity that you... That's what God provides to you. He provides the identity, the relationship as a children, as a son. You have that relationship with God. If you don't understand that, through the grace of Jesus Christ, the world certainly will change you and will give you the identity. The world will decide who you're going to be because you are letting them to decide that in your life. But if when you understand the identity that you are in Jesus Christ, there's nothing in the world that it can change that. All the glory to God, always, all the time. That identity, we need to understand it, because then you understand what is your destiny. Whatever defines you has power over you. The redemption without revelation will lead to regression back to slavery. That's the words from that Jewish teacher that I listened this week, which is really, I think it can be correlated to the whole story of the identity that you have with Christ, the identity that you're supposed to know and understand, so that way we can continue walking in that by faith, by the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back. To understand the mercy and also the sacrifices, we know that all the sacrifices, they're already gone, according to Scripture. So when we learn more about it, let's go to Hebrews 10:5. Hebrews 10:5. And in the meantime, you guys are looking for that. The heart of Christ was never captured by that bitterness. He was the friend of those sinners. But Hebrews 10:5 says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I say, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to you, your will. Sorry, I have come to do your will, my God. The will of God, not sacrifices. It's not sufficient. We can't do that anymore. Now, that was in the Old Testament. You present an animal or a living creature, right? Now you and me in the church. Let's just change it over here. Because if you do the same concept, but now here in the church, according to Scripture, he's not receiving that. He's not receiving that, depending on the heart. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as a king. Hallelujah. His word is precious. You know that. His word is here. It's all over the place, right? You have it maybe in your house. You might be having it in radio. You might be having it in your phone. You might be having it in a book. You have it everywhere. It's precious, his word. It's the one that is going to help you to continue growing and learning more about the relationship with him. Do not reject it. Because according to Scripture, he will reject you. Because it's so precious. It's his word. And he do not delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Psalm 51:16 also says, "You do not delight in sacrifices, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is broken spirit." Hallelujah. "And to eat..." Oh, my goodness. Praise God always. Amen. "A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous. In burnt offerings, offer whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." Jeremiah 7:21 also say, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go ahead, add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you." Obedience. And the obedience, you can follow it based on what the scripture says. If the scripture says something and you are obedient of that, you're pleasing God. But once again, if we're coming, or whatever we're doing for God, if it's with a wrong heart, we have to be careful. That's the only thing that I'm saying. Just, we have to be careful. Just trusting in Him, putting in Him all your worries, your anxiety, putting on Him everything. He will take care of you. Don't take it yourself. Don't remove God out of the picture. Leave Him with you, with your family. Let Him take care of everything. You will continue moving forward with Him. You will walk in with Him. But He's taking care of things that you can't. You and I cannot handle stuff sometimes, most of the time. All the circumstances that we're facing in a daily basis. He can help you. He can provide you that. If we have that heart of believing and trusting in Him, trusting also in that grace, open doors from Him. Amos 5:21. "I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never failing stream." Micah 6:6. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with cows a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Amen. Sorry, I know it's a little bit tough. I'm also receiving this. We just need to understand the sacrifices. It's not enough for God. And I know sometimes we correlate, oh, we need to sacrifice this and doing that. My point here, church, it is the heart. Again, when you're doing something to God or for God or to a neighbor, to anyone, anything you're doing is depending on your heart. We need to do it with a heart of gratefulness with God in grace, not expecting anything back from Him, because he already supplied you everything you need. He already predestined everything to you. That's why if you understand the identity that you have in Christ, your destiny, you will get it and you will understand it because you already be predestined by God. He already provide you everything that you need. You already have it. So when we go in and give something to God or to anyone or whatever you're doing for God, do it with the right heart. That's the point over here. Okay, let's go to mercy. This is just talking about sacrifice. Let's go to mercy really quick. Mercy, compassion. That's the really definition of mercy. Compassion, which is like feeling of sorrow, tenderness, and identification with someone else. I like that one. That you are identifying with your brother, with their suffering, with their ills. That's compassion. That means mercy. Mercy, it can be correlated with other words. I love, right? Obedience. We can see all that scriptures that is related. Mercy is related to love and also to obedience and other things. But today, we'd like to mention just a few of them. Within mercy, there's so many characteristics. So forgiveness, obedience, and love. But it describes also abundance, great, sure, tender, new, every morning. Like Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast, and this is ESV, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Now, in other versions, when it says the steadfast of love, it means the mercy of God. His mercies, what is that, singular or plural? Not just one. What do you think? That God just have one for you? No. He has several. He has a lot of mercies for you. Sometimes people limit God, but God is not, you never limit God. God is too much. It's too big. He has a lot of mercies. And according to this scripture, it says, they are new every morning. And why we are acting like he don't have mercy of you? Sometimes we act like that, right? Oh, my goodness, again. Another day. Doing the same routine. Getting up at the same time. Preparing the coffee at the same way and manner. And going to work to the same route. And I'm seeing the same people all every day, the same thing. Hey. Right? Driving. You keep seeing the same people because they're living the same time with you, right? But every morning, every day, God have a mercy for you. You and I, we are a miracle of God. There's some statistic that says that over 40 million firstborns, you know, or 40 million possibilities that you can born in a specific day that you're born. You know, God give you the opportunity to live in this world. 40 million. There's some statistics, weird numbers, right? But, you know, if you look that number and you see, wow, 40 million, and you know, God gave me the opportunity, me to live in this world, to have a life, to get up this morning and live and continue moving forward and worship him and service him and help my neighbors, my family, that's a miracle. That's a blessing. Let's act like that. They are new every morning. Praise God for that. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. James 2:12. We were talking about yesterday in the men's breakfast, and I want to share this scripture because it's related to this. And I guess it's just the confirmation from God. James 2:12, it says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs, thank you, over judgment. Mercy. Mercy of God. That's what he wants from us. Mercy or sacrifice? I'm including here. Because I know I've been years in serving God, and sometimes we have that mindset. I'm going to church every Sunday. Let me work over there in the sound. Let me play over here. And I'm just like, okay, this is like a work. And that's not the right heart. Because then you're doing it just because, or maybe just to expect something from God. Maybe anything that you are expecting from God. But the right heart is just coming every day, and not just Sunday, every day. Thank you. Another day. Let's just make it happen. Let's do it. Let's serve God. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. When He gives you the opportunity to speak to someone, He will open the door. Do it. That's why mercy, it will be always over judgment. Because we understand that we are the same of my other similar or person or neighbor. Before we start judging, we offer mercy, because mercy will be going over that. I'm going to try to explain this experience from this week in a way that you guys can understand me. So, this person made the mistake, the same mistake two times. A year ago, that person made a mistake. We're talking about work related. And then again, after a year, the same mistake again. And then all the people, leaders, start getting together and say, okay, what are we going to do? We have to punish him. We have to punish him. How are we going to punish him? Well, we have to remove that person out of that responsibility, that role, and then put it in this area which no one wants to work over there. Right? And then they say, what do you think, John? Well, I'm trying to be balanced, right? Okay, what happened on the first time? Do we have it documented? No. Okay, that didn't happen. Right or no? It didn't happen. It's not an official document. That happened. Okay, so that didn't happen, number one. Okay, the second one, it's documented? Yeah, it's documented. Okay, so that happened first time. Okay. So what we are doing to help this person? That was my question. What we are doing, what is the tools that we are giving to this person to get better? And that's the part that I think we're lacking sometimes. That sometimes when the person makes mistakes, or maybe they are sinners or whatever, there might be not a believer, we're right away judging and say, oh, let's just send them to the punishment. Say, but what we are doing? Are we offering something? Are we offering tools to get better? Are we offering tools to understand the principles of God, the grace of God, the salvation? Are we doing something? Because sometimes I think we forgot to do that, to give the tools to the people so they can learn and they can walk by that. Now, after you give the tools and they don't want to follow that, okay, well, what else we can do, right? We go as far as we can. And I know God will continue providing what the person needs to continue getting better. But I think that's the lesson learned that we need to understand. Be merciful. Like the prayer of the Father says, forgive me as I forgive others. In other words, if I don't forgive others, if I don't act in mercy, how am I expecting to receive the same thing back to my life? I don't want to fall. So Jesus Christ, when he was talking about this, let's go to the book of, hopefully I'm pronouncing this correct, Hosea. Thank you. Because Jesus Christ was talking with the disciples and the Pharisees also at that time and says, you don't understand. He wants mercy. He don't want sacrifices anymore. And then he used that as a reference from this prophet, Hosea. This is going to be chapter 6 of the prophet. Six one. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. Who? He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds. Who we're talking here? Okay. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will restore us, that we may live in His presence. Hallelujah for that one. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I kill you with the words of my mouth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. An acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. I love His word. Hallelujah. You see what He say over here? Jesus Christ used this as a reference to present it to these people, the Pharisees in that time. Because the Israelites, God won their hearts. That's what God's want. He was looking at from them. And He say, you guys are living your love just going like the mist. Hold it. Continue moving forward with that love every time. God is love. If God is love, you have God inside of you. You will flow out every day, every moment. Keep it. Keep giving love because He wants mercy. He don't want the sacrifices. And the mercy is showing His love, faithfulness, obedience. We are only administrators of what He, in His grace and love, entrusts to us. That is why our sacrifices will always be incomplete. We're never going to reach that. You know that. We did not give ourselves the breath of life. We talk about that many times. We continue moving and believing in this. So the last one that I want to share with you guys is going to be in Luke 18. And this is when the tax collectors were in the church and Jesus Christ was using this as a parable. Luke 18, 9. I'm going to share the last three after this. Luke 18, 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you. I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He will not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We are so focused and focused and focused and focused on not sinning or avoiding evil that we do not do good either. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. We are just focused on that. But what is the principle of loving? Mercy, faithfulness, obedience. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But then we're leaving the obedience, the faithfulness, the love over there. That's done. It's past. Let me love, mercy, faithfulness. Let me impart that. Let me continue using that to me, to my family, to others. Mercy. The last three, I just want to mention three things really quick without going into the depth. It's going to be number one, contact with sinners. Jesus Christ, he was sitting with sinners. Yes, we have to be careful. Again, sometimes we're going too much to the tangent. I can use that word. Too far to this side or too far to the other one. We have to be careful. There's a balance always. You cannot be a light when everyone is a light. You cannot shine over there. You will shine when it's in a dark place. In other words, you will shine to the sinners. Jesus Christ was a light to them. Number one, because he don't have anything inside of him that he will be condemning them. Number two, because his actions, love, mercy, it was always with him. So when we are with sinners, you are the light, you are the salt. So always, they're going to look into that. They might be going to have that experience. You just love them and mercy them because you were like them before. You and I, we need to understand also the second point, which is the institution is more important than the people. The mindset of the Pharisees and all the peoples based on sacrifices, it was that the institution, the rules, everything, it was more important than the people. That's why they were just worried about the Sabbath. That's why they were just worried about the temple. And Jesus Christ would say, I am the Lord of the I am the Lord of the temple. I am the temple. I am the Sabbath. And I'm showing you how to serve, how to love, how to have mercy. You do the same. The last one is the relationship with God. Having that relationship always. That will help you to have that mercy to other people. Proverbs 28:12. When the righteous triumph, there is a great elation. But when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Hallelujah. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. And that's by passing it to us. So again, are you a merciful person or a sacrificial person? God is asking that question to us today. Mercy or sacrifice? According to his scriptures, he says, I want mercy, not sacrifices. Because the understanding of the sacrifices, it will be just giving it to you, not to him. The people will keep presenting the sacrifices, but they lose the sense of the meaning of the change in their hearts to be transformed. Mercy or sacrifice? The grace of God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time and moment. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you because we continue learning more and more and more about you and about your mercy and about your love, your faithfulness. Thank you for everything that you're doing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we worship you. We praise you. We declare your glory over here. We declare your favor over here in everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to continue blessing our lives, to continue blessing our families, to continue blessing everyone here. Please help us to continue learning more and understanding more this scripture, your word, and continue applying it in our life, being a doers, not just a listeners, so that way we can continue receiving the blessing of having that this beautiful relationship with you, to continue growing more and more. We love you. We worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you think that God talked to you and you need some prayer or you need to worship God here, again, the worship team, they're going to sing one song. Please feel free to come over to the altar and praise God and worship Him. And if you need any prayer, we are here to pray for you. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. So this next song that we're going to sing, or last song, I want to give a little bit of direction. We've done it before, and I really feel like anytime we do something, it counts all the way, 100%. What we do here, it is we're agreeing with the Lord. We are praising Him. We might be praying something into the atmosphere. This one is about drawing near to me, for I have drawn near to you. And some people have done the song and singing it to the Lord.